I've never been a very outspoken person, but naturally, as everybody does, I've had things to say. And sometimes it takes a lot of time for people to be able to discover that voice.
Welcome to the Teachers on Fire podcast, where we profile agents of growth and transformation in education today. Each guest shares their highs, their lows, their passions, their goals, and the voices that are sparking their thinking and igniting their practice. This episode of the show is sponsored by Fidgets. Fidgets are interactive USB sensors that allow students to bring code to life quickly and easily from their computer. Try Fidgets out for free by visiting bit.ly/fidgetsonfire. That's Fidgets with a PH, and ordering your free starter kit today. Not only will you receive some free gear, you'll also be helping the podcast. Again, to order your free Fidget starter kit, just go to bit.ly/fidgetsonfire. Now, I'm your host, Tim Cavey. Let's meet today's guest. Today I'm speaking with Pavan Wander. Pav, as she is known around Twitter and the podcast world, is a middle school math and science teacher. She's also the co-host of the legendary Staff Room podcast, at Staff Podcast on Twitter, and a co-host of The Drive with Che and Pav, a real-time radio show especially for educators. You can follow Pav on Twitter at PavWander and on Instagram at @_Pav_, and at everything else that she and Che are putting out there at linktr.ee/staffroompodcast. Pav, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Are you ready to talk education?
I'm ready, Tim. I'm so excited to be here on Teachers on Fire with you. And, you know, I know that this is going to be an awesome conversation. So I'm ready to go.
Well, you know, I'm a huge fan. We chatted a couple of weeks ago on Instagram Live. That was really good. And I knew this conversation had to happen as well. And I look forward to connecting with Che, but this one needed to happen first. Before we get started, Pav, how are you doing? What has your world looked like since mid-March brought North America to a screeching halt?
So, yes, it's been a bit of an emotional roller coaster this past couple of months. I have to say, you know, there's been such a huge learning curve when it comes to, you know, everything that we've been doing in our classrooms, our own professional development, our own emotions, really. And so, you know, I've been trying to focus on the classroom and focus on my students, and also at the same time focus on the podcast, and also with The Drive and working with Che, and, you know, a lot of reflecting back and forth. But it's been kind of crazy, you know, trying to figure out how we're going to be working with our students in this new learning environment. And you know, how do you build a culture with your classroom when it's online all of a sudden? And so it's been a little bit tough, but, you know, we're getting through it and we're working through. And I have to say that it's been pretty positive and going well.
You two have had such great conversations, and so many of the conversations and your thoughts have resonated with exactly where I am as well. I think back to a conversation where you talked about, you know, how do we replace the banter, the small talk of the classroom? You just can't on Google Meet, but you can try other little things to work in that direction. Well, tell us about your current context in education, Pav. What does that look like? I mentioned it a little bit off the top, but give us a few more details.
Right. So Che and I teach in a school that's in the northwest corner of the city of Toronto. And, you know, the area that we teach in is quite diverse. And, you know, I wouldn't consider it to be a very affluent neighborhood, but, you know, there's a lot of hardworking people in that area. And it's a near and dear place to my heart, because it's actually the area that I was born and raised in. I did move away for quite some time, but then I've moved back because, you know, this is home, and this is where I grew up, and this is where I went to school, and this is where my parents still live, and this is where I teach, and this is where I really ultimately want to be. So I've got lots of connections to this community and lots of connections to the people and to the schools and so many of the educators that are still here. So I currently teach, as you mentioned, I currently teach grade 7 and 8 math and science. But, you know, I've been sort of all over the place, but mostly stuck to middle school since I've been teaching. So for about almost 15 years.
I think it's so interesting when educators have that personal connection, that history, because there's a sense of ownership of the space and place that you're in, right? You're invested.
Yes.
This is a part of you. This community is a part of you.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I want to start with story time next, Pav. So if you wouldn't mind, share with us about a low moment or an experience of adversity that you've faced somewhere in your teaching or education career and describe how you overcame it.
I don't think that there's any one low moment in my teaching career. But I have to say that there have been like little things that have happened, and it's really worked to our favor in the sense that it's helped us to discover, you know, why we kind of want to do what we do with the podcast and with the radio show and through with our voices. So, you know, I feel like in my teaching career, I haven't had a lot of people to really help me advocate for myself or for my voice. And it's interesting because through a lot of my reflections, I've sort of, you know, thought about, I've been teaching for 15 years in the same community where I've grown up and where I was once a student. And I consider myself to be a rather timid, shy, quiet, introspective, introverted person, although sometimes it doesn't seem that way because of our voice and reach now, but I've never been a very outspoken person. But naturally, as everybody does, I've had things to say, and sometimes it takes a lot of time for people to be able to discover that voice. And you know, for me, not having, you know, a lot of people around in my teaching career and as a student growing up to really kind of advocate for me pushing through that shyness or quietness and trying to discover what my voice is and working through that has been a little bit of a struggle. You know, I still find that people assume that I am somebody who's going to be independent and strong and I'll take care of myself, but sometimes you need that leadership and mentorship. And I have found that it's been difficult for me to find that because, you know, I'm still struggling with many of the same things that I've struggled with since I started teaching. It's been difficult for me to find my roots within teaching because I'm constantly being shuffled from school to school. And that's been a struggle because one of my main goals as a teacher is to be able to establish real good relationships with my staff, with my students. And so, you know, having somebody there to maybe usher my voice has been difficult. And then I bring that back to my students. You know, I want to be able to encourage that in my students because I know firsthand what they're going through in this community and I know what they're experiencing. And I know that sometimes they will feel the same way, that their voice isn't being heard. And so I've really, you know, found that these have been some of my lower moments when I feel like I'm not being heard. And bringing that back to the classroom to really be able to advocate for my students. So, I'd say that it's not really one big thing, Tim. It's just little things that sort of make me feel that way. But, you know, working with my students is how I've really been able to work through that and try to overcome it because it's not really over. It's even in times like right now, when we really feel like the voices of our students need to be heard, I want to be able to help those students be able to celebrate their voices. And I think that maybe that will help to overcome that in the future.
That was said so well, Pav. And I think what you're talking about in terms of mentorship is something that we need more of for sure in our schools and learning communities. But I love the way that you're translating that into an empathetic response to your own students. And I mean, students are on that same growth and learning journey, obviously, as well. And they need that mentorship, that coaching, just the way that we do. Well, Pav, let's talk about your huge emergence in the education content scene in the last year. This is so fun to talk about. It seemed like it took you and Che just about no time at all to start contributing to the education conversation on Twitter and, of course, the podcast and now the radio show. So I'm interested in the backstory because this story really is still a young one. It's only about a year old. What was the switch that flipped and what is the why behind your incredible contributions to our professional learning network?
So Tim, this is always, it's a fun story for us to tell just because it almost feels like a fluke, you know, like there was no real switch that turned on with this journey. It just kind of, it sort of happened. And then we dove into it because it has been so rewarding through the entire process. So, it was always deep down. It was always about, you know, amplifying our voices. It didn't necessarily start off with that why. Because we sort of had to discover it during the journey. But essentially, it all got started. And it's been less than a year. Our first podcast, we recorded in August. And so it's still, you know, pretty young in that sense. But
incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah, it feels incredible because it feels like we've been doing this forever. But it all started last year around this time. One of my friends that I went to middle school with reached out and said, I've got a podcast and, you know, I'd like to do something to give back to the community that I grew up in. What are your ideas? Like, what do you think that we could do? And I thought, well, you've got, you know, this great outlet. I don't have a class of my own this year. So I was teaching rotary science all last year. And, but I know a teacher who does have a class who would be really, you know, it would be really cool to do something around podcasting with his class. And so I reached out to Che and he was, of course, all in. You know, if we're going to be able to give students an opportunity to, you know, do something with podcasting, absolutely. So it turned into a Genius Hour project where, you know, students kind of developed their own topics to discuss and did lots of research about, you know, a passion project of their own. And in groups, they each recorded like a 10-minute segment for a podcast episode. And so my friend who has this really successful podcast, he opened up his studio and his post-production team to help with this project. So it was a full day trip. We spent lots of time planning and organizing and, you know, we were there in the studio all day. And before the students actually recorded their podcast, they had us come in, myself and Che, to do an episode or a few. It was supposed to be 20 minutes to talk, but it ended up being a 45-minute episode just to talk about education and, you know, where this idea stemmed from and some of our challenges. And Che and I could have talked for hours. I mean, it was just so much fun. And then the idea kind of sprung out of that. It's kind of sprung out of, oh, well, we didn't realize we had so much to say and so much to talk about. And so we thought, you know what, let's just do one episode a month. I don't know how much time we're going to have for this. Let's try one episode a month. After that first episode, we were just like, we can't do this once a month. We have to do this every week. And so it became a weekly podcast. Then we started adding our interludes into that, which are short 10-minute independent episodes that we release in between the main episode. And those are far more reflective. And then since then, you know, we've been approached by Voice Ed Radio, Stephen Hurley with Voice Ed Radio, who said, hey, would you guys like to be on the radio and, you know, have a show on theirs? And so that kind of happened. And so since then, it's just been, you know, explosive. And we've really discovered that, you know what, we may not have thought so before, but we really do have a voice. And so in a sense, we've rediscovered that. And we've really been trying to amplify our message of, you know, you have important things to say, your reflections about education, about the classroom, about things that are happening in the world, they deserve to be heard. And this has really become our mantra and what we believe and our vision, that we do have a voice and it's important to get it out there. And that's been very meaningful for us to express to our students as well, because they are really seeing it from our experiences too. So that's, you know, it's been a very grassroots movement, started from nothing, and it's become this huge thing. And it is sometimes very like shocking to us as well. But if we think about a switch that was turned on, I don't know, I think we're slowly still turning it on. Because we're evolving, like we're growing each episode that we release, each conversation that we have with people. It's just the reflection in itself has been so helpful.
Well, between the podcasting and the radio show, and of course, all of your activity on Twitter, sometimes on Twitter, it feels like you guys, one or both of you, are just always present, always contributing, and it's really incredible. It's a lot of fun. Let's go a little bit off script here and ask, I want to ask you, do your colleagues at your school, are they all aware of the staff podcast? Are they fans? I mean, do your family members know? Tell us about your own local communities. How involved are they in what's going on?
I love that question because, yes, everybody is aware, but I don't know how much everybody is aware of how much love and effort and work we put into it. So yes. Sometimes, yeah. And I'm sure you understand this too, because it's crazy because we live and breathe what we're doing right now. And it's so impactful with our day-to-day life. And so, yes, our administrators, our colleagues, our families, everybody is aware of everything that we're doing. And so, you know, sometimes they give us a little bit of grace in that, you know, okay, I got to go work on this. And so it's like, they understand. Fans, yes, we have several teacher friends and colleagues that listen to us, a lot of our friends, and they, you know, some of our friends are educators and they will pass it along to their own, you know, colleagues and their schools and their teams. So it's been really nice to grow in that way. And people really definitely appreciate what we're doing and they love seeing our growth. It's been really fun to be able to share it with them and watching us grow with this and seeing how big it becomes. But, you know, it's kind of funny because sometimes I feel like this is what actors must feel like when they're with their families. Like their families understand what they do, but they still look at you as the same person, right? Like you are still who, like, such and such teacher, you are still their parent or their daughter or, you know, their brother or sister. So it's kind of like, yeah, okay, it's cool what you're doing. Let's move on to the next topic. And so
exactly.
It is. Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I think that people definitely appreciate what we do, but, you know, being on the inside, it's a different perspective. So, you know, there is a lot of work that goes into it, and it's fantastic that they see it and they appreciate it.
I would echo all of that as well. I find in my own staff room, like, you don't want to make your content work the focus.
Yes.
And, you know, all of your colleagues know you just as who you are in your ordinariness, right?
Yeah, exactly,
and so, yeah, you don't want to push your content. But on the other hand, it really does mean a lot when a colleague comes up to you and says, hey, I listened to this episode, really appreciated what you did over here. And you're like, hey, you know, people are actually tuning in from my own community, which is amazing.
Yeah, just to add on to that really quick, it's always, like, I'm sure it is for you too, it's always so humbling.
Yes.
To receive that. When it's, especially when it's not prompted, you know, when somebody approaches you or somebody sends you a nice message on Twitter or, you know, anywhere to say that I listened to this and it resonated with me, that always really, like, even 8-9 months down the road and for you so much longer, but it always just hits us, you know, in that special spot where it's like, wow, you know, we were not doing it for this, but to receive it just feels so much better.
So good. So good. Especially from colleagues that you really respect or from administrators. It means the world.
Absolutely.
So thank you, administrators, for your support of our work. Well, Pav, I want to zoom in on one particular conversation that you brought up on the podcast some time ago, and now I'm talking the Staff Room podcast. I so love the humanity of your content there, from your shared conversations to your monologues, your interludes, as you mentioned earlier. It is so obvious to me that the two of you care about the whole child, about relationships, about making sure that every student feels seen and heard. On that note, I wanted to ask you about an interlude when you talked about the importance of names. Can you summarize some of your story as an Indo-Canadian student who, in your words, dreaded having her name read or misread aloud by teachers in classrooms? And can you talk about the importance of teachers making that extra effort to pronounce our students' names correctly?
Yeah, thanks, Tim. This interlude was early on, and it was, you know, when I started being a little bit more reflective with things and thinking back to who I was as a student and how that's impacted, you know, what I've become as an educator. And my name has always been just such a sticking point for me because, you know, I've gone through so many emotions with it. My full first name is actually Pavanjeet. It's 8 letters long, and there's a bunch of consonants in there that are supposed to be pronounced one way but are not. So it's always been, you know, since I started school, it has been very rare that anybody pronounces it correctly, like the way that my family would say it. And so, you know, it was always an insecurity. It was always something like, oh, here it comes. You know, it's time for attendance. It's a new teacher. She's not going to know how to say it. Just waiting. And then it happens and it's butchered. And then, like, if I'm feeling like it, I will make a correction. But oftentimes when I was young, I just kind of gave up. And I said, well, you just say it how you want to say it. And then I grew up with that sort of, okay, well, this is what I'll be known as at home. And this is what I'll be known as at school. And that sort of dread followed me into, you know, high school, then into university, and then when I started working. And so over time, I just began shortening it to where it's like, just call me Pav. And that has, in one way, become a part of my identity, somebody who just sort of gives into what other people assume me to be. But then recently, and through the interludes and through the podcast, I became a lot more aware that, you know, I'm not the only one that's going through this struggle, that, you know, that there are a lot of students out there that that dread having their name read aloud. And obviously this is something that I was aware of before the interlude, but it just made me think, you know, it's a part of me that needs to be represented and put out into the world, just because it's not just the Indo-Canadian kids that are experiencing this. There are many people, and since the interlude, I have learned a lot of people that have this insecurity with their names, even common names that you would think are that's just a common Canadian or American name. There's nothing different about this. But a lot of people really resonated with that interlude, just because, you know, they feel that connection to their identity through their name. And for that to be misrepresented, it stings a little bit. And the importance of, you know, being that advocate for the students in the classroom who feel like their names are constantly being misread and their identity is being misrepresented, that was a sticking point. That was really important. That was a big conversation that we had around that time. And, you know, just hearing everybody's stories just really, really emphasized the need to be aware of our students and what they're feeling and what they're thinking, even if they're not vocalizing it, you know? So, you know, asking in class is, you know, can you tell me how to pronounce your name? Because I want to be able to pronounce it the way you want it to be pronounced. And that was really the conclusion of it, because I still choose to go by Pav a lot of the time, just because I don't want to take the attention off of who I am as a person and onto my name. You know, I don't want it to always be the center of conversation, but I'm also now not afraid of having that conversation. Now it's very much like, you know, I respected that you asked me, how do you correctly pronounce your name? And so many people that I've met have said, well, I want to know how to pronounce your name. And so I love having that conversation. But I also don't like to make it all about that. So it's been an important conversation, and I have this conversation a lot with my students. I will call you what you prefer to be called. So if you want to be called by your full first name, pronounced the way your parents pronounce it, then I want you to teach it to me. And if you want to go with something else, then I respect your decision to do that. So I think it's part of a person's identity and part of their growth. And so that interlude was definitely one, I would say it was my favorite, just because of how much perspective I gained surrounding it.
No, such a fascinating conversation. I mean, I would say in my 19 years of teaching that the majority of my students in that time have not, you know, their parents were not born in this country. And so you have a lot of names that aren't necessarily familiar, but I think wherever you're from, whatever your perspective and background as a teacher, as an educator, I think we owe it to our students to do exactly what you just said, to put kids first and to try to recognize them in exactly the way that they want to be recognized. And I guess what I'm saying is I really feel that we need to sense that. Sorry, we need to fight that intellectual laziness that comes over maybe when we look at a class roster and we're like, oh, I can't say that. Have you got an easier version for me? You know, have you got that English sounding name? And I think we have to push back on that. So
right,
I definitely don't have this all figured out, but that episode, Pav, was so open. It was so real. And I think everyone should listen to it. It's just so provocative. And yeah, I think a lot of educators, myself included, have been guilty of just sort of trying to head to that easy solution instead of doing the hard work.
Yeah, just, you know, it's about their needs. And so meet them. That's what we do as educators. And it's not a difficult thing to do to open up to kids and have them open back up to us. So it was a great conversation to have.
Yeah. Kids can tell when we're trying, I think.
Yes.
Pav, as you look across your PLN and your own professional practice, what else is setting you on fire about education today?
You know, for Che and myself through this whole journey, it's been about reaching the kids and have them, you know, connect with what we're doing and have them sort of see firsthand, because we've sort of been modeling our vulnerability to them through this entire process. And for them to be able to see that our voices are being heard. I remember one time we were out on a field trip and it was to our high school in our community to go watch a presentation. And we were there, and it was a couple of months into the podcast, and one of the teachers from that school stopped us and said, "Hey, are you Che and Pav?" And our students are here. They're here watching this happen. And we're like, yeah. It was like, wow, we really love your podcast. And not only were we floored by that comment, but our students just went wild. Like,
nice.
You guys are celebrities. People know who you are. It was just so crazy. And I think it was at that moment when our students realized that our voices are actually being heard out there. Like, we're not just recording this and sticking it in a hard drive, you know, like it's going out to the world and people are listening. And so what's been setting us on fire is being able to really show that to our students and being able to meet them to what they like to use for their way to amplify their voice. And so showing them that you can send out really good messages and you can, you know, build on social media platforms or things like YouTube or, you know, to really get your message out there and people will listen to what you have to say. So, you know, trying to just model, say something good, say something that, you know, is a message that you want to be delivered and people will listen to it. So that's really been kind of where we've been at and where I've been at with respect to education right now.
It's an exciting time to be a kid, and it's an exciting time to create and to have your voice heard by other people. And I love that your students sort of applauded you or cheered you in that moment. That's really awesome. Well, Pav, looking ahead, we're coming to the end of this school year, obviously, as you look ahead through the summer and into the fall. How are you looking to grow professionally and improve your practice to really take it to the next level? Can you share about a specific professional goal or maybe a project that you're currently working on?
Yeah. So, you know, as we work through the podcast and the radio and all of this entire journey, I know that I mentioned previously, and it seems to be a recurring theme, that this has been something that Che and I have built from the ground up. It really is a grassroots movement. And, you know, a lot of what we're doing uses a lot of the technology that we use in our classroom anyway. And because this journey has really been shared with our students, they've seen our highs and lows, they've seen our ups and downs. So we've learned a lot along this journey. We, you know, from going from two teachers who didn't know, you know, Che, how do you make a podcast? Like, you know, I know we want to do this, but how do we actually do it? Like, what do we use? You know, what kind of mics do we need? What kind of software do we need? Like, you know, what do we need to do? And start going from that to a place where we're now ready to start, you know, developing our own websites, you know, not doing anything externally. Like we're doing everything ourselves with the help of people that we've connected with. And, you know, having our students be able to see that has been a professional kind of goal for us. You know, we want to be able to learn how to do this so we can take it back to our students and let them know that they can do this too. And it relates right back to their curriculum. Like, you know, if you want to build a website on something that you're doing in your science class, like we can teach you how to do that now because we've taught ourselves how to do that. We've learned from the resources that we've had out there, you know, the people that we've connected with, we've been able to do that. And so, you know, this has really become a direction that we go with teaching, like just showing them that if you really want to do this, start with your why, start with, you know, what you really aim to do. And then the possibilities are really endless. And, you know, just us learning how to write better so that we can put out things like blogs, us learning how to develop a website, us learning how to use editing software. Like, this is all really great stuff for our own professional development. And then all of the learning and communication that happens along the way, you know, communicating with our professional learning community, reading the books that people have written that we've met, reading books that other educators are talking about, just so that we know, you know, we have all of the information in our learning, listening to the podcast, listening to the guests on the podcast and getting to know them and all of the things that they have to offer. This has all been part of our professional growth. And it's been huge for us. It's been just a steep curve, and it keeps going, and it's just, you know, we're just soaking it all in. So yeah, I would have to say that it's all connected, and it's all professional, and it's all a hobby, and it's all just one big ball of everything right now.
We'll get back to our conversation in just a moment, but Teachers on Fire, I need to ask you, have you received your free fidgets yet? Fidgets are interactive USB sensors that make physical computing easy. There's no soldering, wiring, or breadboarding. You simply plug in a sensor, write a few lines of code in your favorite language, and go. Fidgets are used by thousands of STEM professionals all over the world and are now available for educators. If you have a makerspace or teach coding, this tool is especially for you and your learners. Try it out for free by visiting bit.ly/fidgetsonfire. That's bit.ly/phidgets on fire. You'll receive your free fidget starter kit, and you'll also be helping the podcast. So thank you in advance. Now, let's get back to the conversation. Outside of education, what's another area of learning for you? What is it that ignites your passions when you leave the classroom and really brings you alive as a human being?
So for me, this has to be my journey with Muay Thai. So I've always wanted to learn some martial arts. But, you know, as a kid, I was never encouraged to really participate in a lot of sports. And so I kind of grew up with the, I think that this is cool. I would enjoy it, but I never did. But just this year in January, I started taking Muay Thai classes, and my kids do jiu-jitsu and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and at the same school where they go for BJJ, they also have Muay Thai classes, and so I would always watch my kids in their jiu-jitsu class, and you know, kind of watch the Muay Thai class happening in the corner, and just watching and going, oh, that looks like a lot of fun, and that would be really cool. You know, it was always the majority of the students in the Muay Thai class were men that were in the jiu-jitsu, the adult jiu-jitsu class that happens at the same school. So it was like part of their conditioning, and which is pretty common, I think, with those two martial arts. I'd always watch, and then so I just was like, you know what? Why not? Let's just do it. Let's just learn. I've always wanted to, and I think I'd be good at it. And from the looks of, you know, these guys, they can barely handle what they're doing over there. I can do 40 push-ups easy. So I signed up one day, and I was like, let's just do this. Let's see how it goes. And I have been addicted since then. And since, you know, the gym has closed, I'm just dying. Like the Zoom classes for Muay Thai are not the same. I want the contact. You know, I want to get hit and kicked and punched, and I want to do the same to other people. And, you know, I was so close to leveling up, and then the classes shut down. And so I've been itching to get back to Muay Thai, because it's one of those things where I just didn't realize how much I was going to love it. And I absolutely love it. And I can't wait to get back to the gym and be doing that again, because it's one of those things. You're just like, you just don't know how much you're going to love it until you start, and then you're just addicted to it. So that's been my passion when it comes to outside of education completely. That's where my focus has been.
Well, you've shared some great photos of some of your workouts, Pav, lately. And I think I'm going to need to make a request here that you film a short action sequence of you trying out some of those hits and kicks on Che. That is retweetable content right there.
You know what? that would be fun. And maybe we should do that on TikTok.
Perfect. Perfect. Oh my goodness. Pav, share about a personal habit or a productivity hack that contributes to your success. So like so many of us, I mean, you're a mom, you're a teacher, and you're a content creator. How do you get it all done? How do you balance it all? And what's one of your secrets?
So Tim, as you probably know, we can't do it all. You know, as much as we want to, there's always one aspect that suffers a little bit, you know, when you try to get it all in. And so one thing that I've always loved to do since I was a kid, you know, is read. I was always that kid where, you know, the lights turn off at night and the flashlight turns on under my covers just to read my books. And it's such a silly thing, but my parents would always, you know, come in the room and shut off the light. Like, you need to be sleeping, but I'm reading. I'm not doing anything that I shouldn't be doing. So it was always such a crazy thing that I would hide my reading. But as I grew older, I was always reading. And I loved reading fiction. I loved reading stories and narratives and, you know, all kinds of mystery and thrillers and biographies. And, you know, it was always a love of mine, but as I got busier and busier and busier, I always found it harder and harder to read. So recently what I've started doing is reading. I listen to books instead of reading them. So audiobooks have been a lifesaver for me. And I have to say it's a hack, because I've never been somebody who enjoyed, I wanted to hold the book in my hand, and it had to be a physical book, not an ebook. I wanted the physical book of my hand, feel the pages turning. But it's just not a reality. I just don't have the time. And so audiobooks have been great. A lot of public libraries now are, they are stacked with a lot of audiobooks. And so I've been borrowing books, you know, from the public library, like nobody's business. I've got like 40 holds on books right now. And And it really has been great because I listen to them while I'm doing housework and I listen to them while I'm out for walks. And so my walks have become longer because I want to keep listening to my book. And I'm actually getting a lot of housework done. So it's been a real hack. So what I do is I keep a notebook with me when I'm listening. And rather than, you know, putting post-its in the book, what I do now is I keep my notebook and then I write down the main points, just quick little jot notes so that I can take out important things from the books that I'm reading and keep those thoughts with me because they've been helping with formulating my inner thoughts and my reflections for content, you know, turning it around and using it in the classroom, using it in the interludes, using it as part of our research for the episodes. So that's been very helpful. I know it's not a crazy hack, but
no, I love
but
it.
But for me it has been because I've never been an audiobook person, but now I am.
Well, it took me a long time to move to the e-reader, to the Kindle, for all of the same reasons that you mentioned, but that's one of my keys as well, is I love to annotate and document and record. And so that's the key, is that notebook, because then it's not sort of in one ear and out the other, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it becomes that way very easily with audiobooks because sometimes your mind wanders and you get used to listening to the book, but not actually listening to the book. So that notebook really helps with that because it keeps you focused on what you're listening to.
All right, Pav, it is time for your quick picks, the education voices and resources that are shaping your practice and inspiring your thinking today. Starting at Twitter, tell us about someone we should follow there and share why they've been inspiring you lately.
All right, so I'm going to start with a cheat. Okay, so the first one is Che. You got to be following Che because the conversations that we've had with each other have been so significant in shaping who I am today. And so I think that everybody would benefit from following Che. So that's at Mr. C. Cheney. Follow Che. And then also at Edu Never Dies. This is a bunch of educators that we've connected with over the past couple of months. We put on a weekly chat on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern time with the hashtag Education Never Dies. And they're just a group of educators that are doing such amazing things in education. And I've learned so much from them, and I know that everybody else will too. So connect with Che and connect with Edu Never Dies.
Now, is that account run by you guys?
It is. So there's eight of us on the team and we all have access to the account. And so we do run it. Yeah. So Che and I also run that one. And we participate, we run the chats as well. You know, we cycle through all of the members. We are a team. We have a website as well that you can go check out as well. And lots of cool merch in that store too, if anybody is interested. But it's a fantastic chat. We cover lots of great topics, and each member on that team, Taylor, Tony, Tara, Tracy, lots of T names, Santiago, Michael, Che, and myself, we all have like really cool projects going on the side that people can learn a lot from. We've learned a lot from each other, and we've really grown into a family of sorts. And so it's been a huge place for people to, you know, learn more about education and continue that conversation.
Point us to one ed tech tool that you currently love using somewhere in your classroom or professional practice.
So I would say since we've been at home with crisis learning, a real savior for me has been Screencastify. I've been using G Suite for years. I was dabbling with Google with Google Sites this year a lot more. But since distance learning began, Screencastify has really been a lifesaver for me because, especially with subjects like math, where students want to be able to see me work through a problem, I've been able to record myself, you know, working through problems and embedding lots of different resources into one video and then sharing it with them. And it's easy, and it just makes it so easy for me to do and to edit and to, you know, create longer versus shorter videos. And my students have really appreciated that as well. So I know, again, it's a very simple one, but we tend to go with very simple resources to teach with, just because we don't feel like we need all of those frills. Students connect with us. They don't connect with the tools that we use. So we're able to really use them to our full advantage and have them feeling like they're back in the classroom with us. And so that's been the main goal. So for me, it's been Screencastify.
Recommend one book, maybe one that you've been reading, or I should say listening to lately, or one of your all-time faves that was deeply impactful in some way.
So I've got 1 hour left in Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And so I have to finish it today because it goes back to the library tonight. So, this has been a great book. So Simon Sinek, he talks a lot about why, and, you know, we've shared the TED Talk with a lot of our students, and I actually came across it through Che the very first time, but I borrowed the book, and it's been phenomenal in helping me get some clarity about what we're doing with our podcast, with the radio show, you know, sort of our why in that sense, but also my why as a teacher. So as I'm listening, I'm connecting a lot of what Simon has to say in this book to what I'm doing as a teacher and as a leader in my school. So that's a great one. And I'll give you the full review once I finish that last hour of it, but it's been fantastic so far.
My wife went through that one on audiobook as well. So I heard a lot of Simon's voice. He's got a nice voice to listen to, I have to say. It pulls you in, absolutely.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
We know that you are a podcast listener when you're not listening to audiobooks. So tell us about one that you've got in your deck and maybe explain why you love it.
So I love Malcolm Gladwell. He's got a lot of really great books out there. One of the first ones that I read was The Tipping Point, and it really, you know, narrowed my focus on how to be an effective leader in many ways. And so his podcast is called Revisionist History, and I love hearing about his perspectives on everything. He's so clear with his thinking, and he really makes you see things that you may not have seen about any particular topic. And so I love the depth of his topics. I love the perspective that he brings, and it's very entertaining. And so I love, that's probably what I've really been delving deep into recently. So that's Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History.
Still on the theme of subscriptions, have you got a favorite YouTube channel, one that you enjoy, or maybe one that you've found really useful in the classroom?
I'm not a huge YouTube, dabbler for my own personal self. I usually just go there to listen to music, you know, that I might not have if I want to watch a music video for something. I don't know if they even make those really anymore, but in terms of school, I've always loved the Crash Course page, YouTube page. There's lots of great videos for kids. So I use a lot of those for science. Those have been really cool. And kids like watching those too. I love ASAP Science for more science stuff. Always very entertaining for kids. And then the Khan Academy videos, when it comes to math, sometimes I forget how to do things. And so those have not only been helpful for me to, you know, relearn how to do something that I haven't done in a few years, but the students really find those videos very helpful for math as well. So I have been more recently using more of those to help students learn particular concepts. And many students have been using those already. Again, these are not really new resources. They're just, you know, ones that I've been dabbling with a little bit more recently and ones that I have found to be more successful in my classroom.
Hey, no apologies, because guaranteed these tools are new to some of our listeners right now. So I think it's so helpful, Pap, to hear what you are using. And I'm right there with you with my eighth graders. I've been sending them through the Khan Academy math modules in the remote learning environment. And yeah, those videos are helpful. Well, the very last question, Pav, is not teacher related at all. Just for fun, what have you been watching on Netflix during the quarantine season?
So The Last Dance has been, yes, you know, it was just a phenomenal ESPN series that Netflix, I was so happy that Netflix had it. So I went through that and loved it because, you know, thinking back to when I was young, like the Chicago Bulls were just, they were everything. And Michael Jordan was just everybody's icon. And, you know, it was fun to sort of see that perspective of him that we didn't see when we were kids, you know, like it is, these are all things that we knew growing up, but it's just fun to go back and sort of revisit that part of my life and the music, the soundtrack. I know that I've really been very publicly advertising that soundtrack. Like, it just took me right back to when I was like a kid and during that time. So I loved it. I loved that show altogether, that documentary, I guess. And so I watched that. And then also another really fun one that I binged like in one day was Never Have I Ever. And I think this is a Mindy Kaling show that centers around an Indian girl that's growing up. She's going through high school in a very non-Indian community in the U.S. And so it was fun to watch that just because I could associate so much with so much of what, you know, centers around that show and growing up as an not necessarily an immigrant, but a first generation American or Canadian, is just, it was fun and it was lighthearted and sweet and just one of those things that you're on a rainy day, you can watch the entire season and you don't feel bad about it.
She's great. We really appreciate her around here as well. And yes, when you posted that mention of the Last Dance soundtrack, I immediately added that to my Spotify list. I thought if Pav endorses it, it's probably a good call. And so, yes, I've enjoyed the Last Dance as well. Well, Pav, what are the best ways for the listeners to follow you and catch more of your content?
So on Twitter is probably the best way to get in touch with us. We're very, very active on Twitter. So our Staff Room Podcast account is at Staff Podcast. You can reach me personally at Pav Wander. I've already mentioned Che, so that's at Mr. C. Cheney. And we also, our radio show that's on Friday mornings at 9 a.m. on Voice Ed Radio, that is The Drive Voice Ed. So at The Drive Voice Ed. And, you know, we're active on all of these accounts. But those are probably the, you know, our personal ones and the Staff Room Podcast are probably the ones to reach us best at. But definitely tune in to The Drive on Friday mornings, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on Voice Ed Radio.
Fantastic, Pav. Again, thank you so much for sharing your time with the podcast today. This has been super fun and interesting and provocative. You've brought full value as you always do. You know I'm a huge fan and will remain one. Take care and let's talk again soon.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Tim. It was great.
Before we sign off today, I'd like to shout out some of the awesome supporters in Teachers on Fire Nation. Our first stop is on Twitter, where Scott Nunes at Mr. Nunes Teach tweeted, "I usually go on a run when you go live on Instagram. I like to go before work and after I've been sitting for a while. My days have been going better since I started." Thank you so much for the kind words, Scott. And Scott, of course, was referring to my daily Instagram lives that I was running for about 6 weeks at noon Pacific time. Those broadcasts are currently on pause while I spend some time vacationing with the family, but I do look forward to getting back to them soon. It's always so fun to connect with educators and hear what they are learning about. If you're not following Scott Nunes, make sure to check out at Mr. Nunes Teach on Twitter. Make sure to get on that, and I'd also recommend subscribing to his new podcast, Education Today with Scott Nunes. Next, on one of those very same Instagram Live conversations, this one with the lovely Caitlin Giordano, Ivo Hennen at Project.Decade chimed in from Dubai with, quote, "Great to watch this, guys," and an applause emoji. Thank you so much for stopping by and offering your feedback, Ivo. We appreciate you and everything you bring to the education conversation. If you're interested in building agency in your classroom and practice Teachers on Fire, make sure to give Ivo a follow on Instagram. Again, he's at project.decade. Next on Facebook, Jessica Coetzee wrote, "I just finished watching an awesome podcast where Tim and Francois had some really interesting views on education, learning, and subject integration. Keep up the good work." Thank you so much, Jessica. I think Jessica is referring here to my appearance on Dr. Francois Nodia's show on Crowdcast. It's connected to his podcast called Super Teachers Unite. What a fun conversation we had. And on that note, make sure to catch him in episode 154 of the Teachers on Fire podcast. Again, that's Dr. Francois Nodia, very energetic educator. To all who have read, viewed, liked, retweeted, commented, or replied to my content in any way, shape, or form, thank you. You are the fuel to my fire, and I so appreciate your support. My writing and blogging is coming along well this year, and so are the other writers at the Teachers on Fire magazine on Medium. Some of our recent posts have come from teacher Tom Hobson, Debbie Tenenbaum, Jamie Brown, and me. The Teachers on Fire magazine is a Medium publication, and you'll find it on Medium.com or on the Medium app. If you would like to join our growing writing team there, your first step is simply to create a Medium account using your Google credentials. Message Teachers on Fire on any social media platform for more details. I will leave you with this quote from my reading, Teachers on Fire. It's from a book called 10 Mind Frames for Visible Learning, Teaching for Success, and it's by John Hattie, published by Corwin Press. Of course, he's connected with Visible Learning. Many of you will know him. And the quote reads this way: "Successful leaders take a different approach. For them, the main question is why something should be done. This leads them to the question of how to do something, and finally to that of what to do." So it's why, how, and what. And of course, that ties in beautifully. I did not plan this, but that connects so beautifully with the Golden Circle and Simon Sinek's Start With Why, a book that Pav was talking about listening to, and she had 1 hour left, I think she said, at the time of our recording. But again, from John Hattie at Corwin Press, from his book, 10 Mind Frames for Visible Learning. We've got to start with why, education leaders. We've got to know why we're doing things. Otherwise, everything else just sort of falls apart. Again, I'm your host, Tim Cavey, and I'm so grateful that you decided to spend some of your day listening to this podcast. I hope that in some way the content you heard from Pav Wander ignited your thinking and inspired your practice. And I'll meet you next week right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast. Take care and stay safe.